Today, she's a history professor at Central Michigan University. But 20 years ago, Claudia Clark was a chemical technician working with pesticides in a lab.
My first few weeks on the job, actually, I was dizzy all the time. I didn't understand what was going on. I thought I actually had an appointment with a neurologist. I think my boss thought I was drunk because I kept like falling off my chair practically.
Clark later figured out that the vertigo was caused by a compound she was working with, but she soon learned the problem wasn't unusual.
My colleagues and I were frequently poisoned usually in a minor way. I mean, your skin would burn and you get a little nervous twitch from some nerve that was stimulated by a pesticide.
Clark eventually left that job when she says she finally realized the company didn't care what was happening to its employees. Years later, working on a doctorate in history, Clark says she was inspired to study industrial health because of her own experience. So she spent nearly a decade tracing the plight of watch dial painters in the early 1900s. Around the time of World War I, glow-in-the-dark dials became a popular feature on watches. Soldiers could see the numbers even in dark trenches, and the public picked up on the trend as well, making the luminous dials a fashion fad. Clark says the women who painted the dials felt lucky to land their jobs. It was relatively high-paying factory work without being physically demanding or requiring the women to run loud or dangerous machinery. In fact, the women became a close-knit group as they sat side by side, talking and laughing while they worked, dabbing tiny bits of paint onto watch faces. But the women were slowly being poisoned by the glow-in-the-dark paint that was laced with radium.
These women would very carefully lick the paintbrushes to a very fine point, dip it in the paint, paint a number, put it back in their mouth to get a point again, pick up a little more paint. So they were constantly swallowing small amounts of radium.
They didn't know it then, but when radium gets into the body, it attaches to bone and ends up killing it. After a few years on the job, the dial painters started getting unusual illnesses, like severe jaw infections. The problem became so common, the women gave it a name. They called it jaw rot. The story of the dial painters isn't new. In fact, the plight of the women who became known as radium girls is well documented in medical history. But Claudia Clark tells another side of the story in her new book. She says it wasn't the medical community that discovered radium poisoning. It was the women themselves. And her story follows the long, hard fight they endured to get the problem recognized.
It was now a political story about women who had figured out that they had an industrial disease, and no one wanted to believe them. So it's really a story about political power. Young working class girls didn't have a lot of social credibility, didn't have a lot of power to establish what was real and what was true. And yet they were able over 2 to 3 years to finally get some attention and get some people to believe them.
Though Clark's book about the radium girls is a scholarly work, complete with footnotes, she says she tried to maintain a sense of storytelling to make the book accessible to a wider audience. So much of the book follows one particular dial painter, a young woman named Catherine Schaub.
She was just a typical sort of teenage girl who thought she had this cool job working with this really neat stuff. You know, she and the girls would play with this glow-in-the-dark paint, and they would paint their teeth. And somewhere in there, this woman grew, you know, sort of emotionally, and she really matured into someone who knew what she wanted, and the world better get out of the way and give it to her.
Catherine's cousin was one of the first dial painters to get sick. Recognizing there must be a link between the growing illnesses and their work, Catherine filed complaints with state health and labor departments, making her one of the first and most visible in the fight to get the problem recognized. While some of the dial painters did survive and live long lives, many died in the 1920s and 30s of jaw rot or cancer. Catherine Schaub herself died of bone cancer. She was 30 years old. Overall, the number of dial painters was small. Claudia Clark estimates there were about 4,000. Many did eventually receive some compensation for their illnesses, but Clark says the sweeter victory was a moral one in getting the company to acknowledge what caused the sickness in the first place and take steps to lessen workers' exposure. Though she never actually met any of the women, Clark says she developed a real connection with the radium girls.
I think that they're heroes. You know, if they hadn't been willing to sort of stand up and insist on their view of reality, right, you know, who knows how many more people would have died? Who knows how much longer it would have been before we realized that radium could accumulate or that radiation could be as dangerous as it turns out to be.
Claudia Clark's book is called Radium Girls, Women and Industrial Health Reform, 1910 to 1935. It's published by the University of North Carolina Press. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Wendy Nelson in East Lansing, Michigan.